you, Pastor. A joy to be here. Thank you. And thank you for showing up. I've done everything I could on Sunday to get rid of you, and I don't know why you come back. Amen. I guess they won't. That's good, because it's only going to get worse. Amen. It really is. I'm real. Genuine. If there's a counterfeit, there got to be a genuine out there somewhere. Now, we'll talk about the spiritual Christian and the carnal Christian. Did you know if you're not a spiritual Christian, you are a carnal? I'll not be living that way. Hey, you can if you want to, but it's not good. But anyway, I don't know if I'll even get to it this week. But tonight we're going to talk about the frustrated Christian. We have so many frustrated Christians. God never intended his children to live that way. Now, I got to start up. And back up a little bit, because, you see, I've not been here long enough. I usually don't preach something like this right away without setting some groundwork. And since we got 6 days or 5 days, try to get everything. Are you listening? God did not save you that you might live for yourself and do what you want to do in this life. Period. Now, if you don't got that now. But you want a verse, right? I'm not going to leave you without a verse. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he, Christ, died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So that's one of the clearest passages in the Bible, which teaches us he certainly did not save us that we might live for ourselves and do what we want to do in this life, but that we might serve him. Now, folks, you're going to serve someone, serve something. Can't serve two. We'll talk about that. Now, when I got saved, November 22nd, 1987, at the age of 30, things changed. I didn't get a 45. I didn't get a 90. I didn't get a 360. I got a 180. I mean, I was going this way, and I went this way. I was in the Navy, steered the ship, so I know there's a difference here. But anyway, and so there's a missionary came in, and he said, all you folks in full-time service, stand to your feet. All right, all you folks in full-time service, stand to your feet. One minute, you know. All right. Who's in full-time service? Who's in full-time service?
Everybody.
It's amazing. I was the only one that stood. There was 800 heard the man. If you're in full-time service, stand to your feet. Now, we think that, I don't know where we got the idea, that's just the pastor, evangelist, missionary. I don't know why we understand it that way. But my friend, if you are saved, born again, on your way to heaven, you are a full-time servant. Now, you got signed up whether you like it or not. You may not be living like it. And most of God's people are not living like it. And so that's where we're going. So he said, all you folks in full-time service, stand to your feet. I couldn't be more than 5 days old in the Lord. I'm like a puppy, man. You ever seen a puppy? They don't know what's going on, and they just jump and bark and bite everything. So I just jumped up. My wife, 8.5 years saved, she pulls me down. She said, you're not a full-time servant. I said, yes, I am. I didn't know what she got, but I jumped up, man. She hit me down. She says, you embarrassing me. I said, I'm his servant. I stood back up. She, no, man. And then finally, the preacher said, y'all got a problem down there? I don't know. I just said, I'm in full-time. I'm a full-time servant. And he said, what mission board are you with? Now, see, I didn't know what I know now. You see what I'm saying? I'm further along in my walk with the Lord than I was 25 years ago. And I said, huh? I didn't know B-I-M-I, M-I-B-I, or S-I-B-A, or whatever. But today I say, hey, folks, I'm on Jesus' board. I don't know what board you're with, but I'm on Jesus' board. And now we're going to go. Now, if that be true, we all full-time served when we got saved. He did not save you. The purpose of God's work in mankind is not simply to save man from his suffering. In other words, he did not save you, Elizabeth, merely to get you out of hell. He did not save you merely to forgive you of your sins. He did not save you merely to take you to heaven. Yeah, we'd already be there. Why did he save you? He saved you so that you could serve him. Amen. The purpose of God's working in man. This is Christianity 101, basic. If you don't get this, how do you expect to grow? How do you expect to have a greater walk, a closer walk with the Maker? And so, the purpose of God's working in mankind is not simply to save man from his suffering. The purpose of God's working in mankind is to make it possible for man to glorify and magnify Christ. The reason you were saved, the reason, my friend, you were born again, is that you might be fixed up in such a way that you could render a service unto God that would glorify and magnify Christ. So 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he, Christ, died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve, ought not be serving the old sin nature, the old flesh nature that you have, that you were born with. Make a decision. You ought to be serving God. You ought to be serving the Master. You ought to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you're serving Christ, you ought to live in such a way that you can say, I know my life is well pleasing to God. Hey, folks, I am well pleasing in God's sight. No. That's why, come quickly, Lord. See, I don't have to clean nothing up. I'm ready. Folks are looking, but they're not living like it. Yep. There's a difference, folks. There really is. There's nothing that had to be cleaned up if he came right now. Okay, well, I don't know when. But possibly in my lifetime, he's coming, so I'm going to be ready. And you can live like you want to, but I'm going to be ready. And so there's a difference. I'm just saying there's a difference, folks. There really is. And so, still not convinced, are you? Y'all hard crowd. Okay, what does it say in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20? You believe the Bible, right? Yes. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you bought the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all the glory of God. Do you know what it says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 8? Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Hey, folks, worship precedes service. You can serve without true worship. But my friend, you cannot truly worship Christ without serving him. Ephesians 6:7. With goodwill, doing service as the Lord and not to men. He saved you, my friend, that you might serve him. Now, you may not be on some foreign field. I gave my life to the ministry. Oh, if I knew what I knew now, I might not have done that. But, no, it's really good. Sorry. And so, you may serve him as a nurse. You may serve him. I mean, you're serving him at the gas pump, you know. What you're doing is letting Christ live out his life in and through you. Now, you're not a very good representation of Christ. But that can change. You can be more and more like Christ. You can allow Christ to have. The more you die, the more Christ gets to live out his life in and through you. Now, if you're dead 5%, you see, or 10%, 95%, then he gets to live 95%. And that's another whole series of messages. And so why are you frustrated? You're frustrated for a reason. Well, you're frustrated. You don't seem to accomplish what you set out to do. Your goals are frequently missed. Your victories seem to be short-lived. Your Christian life, face up to it, going nowhere. And the joy of the Lord eludes you as one of his. That's crazy. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of the planet, man. We got the promises of God. Remember on Sunday, we have the promises of God to rely upon. I mean, we got the Bible to direct us, the Holy Spirit of God within to guide us. We got the grace of God to support us. Praise God. What's the problem? You want to hope you want a greater walk. I think you're here because you do. And it's only going to get worse. I hope you'll come back. Let's get started. Matthew 6:24, please. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Why are you frustrated? Now, this is Jesus. Jesus is God. You wouldn't think you'd have to say that today, but people just don't think they would. And he's real. Jesus is real. He's not a force. He's not a feeling. He's a real person. You say, well, I knew that when I was 5 years old. Well, why don't you live like it? That's where we're going, folks. Notice what it says in Matthew 6:24. Jesus says, no man can what? What else? Well, that's your problem. Right there. You're trying to do something Jesus said you can't do. I think they made it so silly. Why would we try to do something God said we can't do? To me, it's so simple. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, in James 1:8, James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, folks, it's not limited just to the spiritual. I hope you get that. And then Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you tonight, this day, whom you'll serve. You're going to have to make a choice. I can't make it for you. All I can say is, hey, come and discover a walk you've never dreamed possible. Choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, you see, as far as Debbie and I are concerned, it's settled. We're going to serve Christ. We're going to serve God with our whole heart. That's different. And so you've got to make this. Why are you frustrated? Maybe you're frustrated. So why do you get frustrated in your walk with the Lord? In your daily walk with Christ? Why do you get frustrated in Christian life? Perhaps it is to be found in the verses I've quoted today. Well, notice three things quickly. No man can serve two masters. Number two, a double-minded man is unstable. My friend, you are an unstable person, and you are unstable in all your ways. And then number three, choose tonight whom you'll serve. So you're going to serve someone, serve something. Question, who are you going to serve? Can't serve two. He saved you that you might serve him. So what's the problem? We'll find out. Lord, help me convey the word of God, rightly divide the word of truth, and oh, there's nothing more than I want to be a blessing and encouragement in us all to have a greater walk. Please help me, Lord Jesus. I pray the Spirit of God teach us truth, take the truth, and apply it to the hearts of thy people in Christ's name. No man can serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. It's in the book. Read it. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise he can't serve God and men. So what was Jesus saying? He's simply saying this. No man has the ability to serve two masters at the same time. God's people try it all the time, but they wind up being frustrated because they're trying to violate what Jesus said nobody can do. That is, no man can serve two masters. It cannot be done. Now in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, the Bible says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I ask some, are you a disciple or are you a believer? Yeah. I don't know where you at, but you ought to know. You wanted the other. Amen. Now, Jesus did not mean hate in the sense that you hate sin, in the sense that you hate unrighteousness. He did not mean, man, that you despise your wife. You despise your children, your family, to hate them. He meant hate only in the sense of preference. It is so important you get that. Only in the sense of preference. Only in the sense of preeminence. Colossians 1:18 says that in all things, who's he? Oh, really? So he wants first. See, now we already got a problem here. We already know it, that in all things, he, Christ, might have the preeminence. Here it is, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ, I hope you're listening. The Lord Jesus Christ must take such obvious preeminence that to compare your attitude toward Christ with your attitude toward your family and friends is as different as love and hate is different. What was Jesus saying? He's simply saying this, folks. When you make one master and Lord, when you make one master and Lord, you automatically make another master, not the Lord. Brethren, it is absolutely impossible for you to render servant-like obedience to two masters at the same time. It cannot be done. Because you'll either hate one, place greater value on the other, or else you will hold the one and lightly esteem the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon simply means money. It seems in this passage of Scripture that mammon is the rival that the Lord had in mind in this passage. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 is not a verse limited to money, and that's what mammon refers to, things, material possessions. Jesus is not saying, here is the one principle that operates in reference to money. Jesus Christ simply took the absolute statement, folks, no man can serve two masters, and the Son of God applied it to finances. He could have taken that same principle and applied it to any other area in life. So what was Jesus saying here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24? He is simply saying this. You don't have the ability to serve God and mammon as rival masters at the same time. It is impossible. Mark it down. God will share the throne with no rival. Now there is nothing wrong with things. Did you hear me? What did you hear? He's kind of amazing. Sure y'all heard. Somebody said, it's amazing what people hear. Okay. Nothing wrong with things. Let me say, somebody say out here, they heard that. Amen. Amen. Let's see. See that? See, you heard them, right? They heard nothing wrong with things in and of themselves. And as long as things remain in a submissive role to the Lordship of Christ, they can be wonderful servants, tools. Yeah. Pastor got it. Amen. Nothing wrong. Get all you can get. Be generous with the rest of us. You know what I'm saying? But when things seek the rival lordship of Christ, now we got a problem, folks. And nothing wrong. Absolutely. So, okay, that's right. You can say the same thing about any number of things. You're not going to like it, but here it is. Your family, for example. Told you already. You cannot serve God, you know, if you try to serve Christ and your family on an equal plane, Jesus says, hey, you're going to have problems. Yeah, it does. Your job, you got one? Yeah, folks, listen. If you try to serve Christ and your job on an equal plane, Jesus said, my people are going to have problems. Can't do that. Now, God's people try it all the time. They wind up being frustrated. You name any rival to God you want. You cannot serve God and that thing at the same time. What are you talking about? You know what it says in Galatians 5:24? Let me help you. And they that are Christ. Now let's figure out who is they that are Christ. I wonder who that might be. Those that are Christ. Now, do you think that's the saved folks or the unsaved folks? Are you sure?
Yes.
Have you been doing it? Do you know what it goes on to say? Yes. Those that are saved have crucified the flesh. How long you been doing that? How long you been saved? With the affections and lust. Now, what is all that about? Hey, here it is, brother. Anything you love more than you love Christ is a lust of the flesh. Anything you love more than you love Christ is a desire of the flesh. My friend, listen, anything you choose to love more than you love your Savior is an affection of the flesh. And to the degree that you now yield your life to that fleshly lust, that fleshly desire, that fleshly affection, to that same degree, God's people are now choosing to live the self life, opposite of the crucified life. The crucified life is a life within the child of God who determines by God's grace, I'm going to die. Remember, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Profound statement. Deny self and die and follow. We're beginning to connect some dots, right? Not every child of God wills to walk with the Lord. Wow. Do you know why? If you'll come back tomorrow night, I'll share with you four reasons why you'll not follow Christ. As a child of God, four reasons why you'll not follow the Son of God. If you'll come back tomorrow night. I told you it won't get worse, didn't I? I didn't say that. But see, now if you make a decision not to follow Christ, you don't have to worry. It really don't matter what happens tomorrow night, right? Smile. I did. Glory. Come on, it's so cool. How about it, Dan? You said you wanted a closer walk, a greater walk. You prayed for it, right? It's amazing what we pray for. And then when God gives it to us, sometimes we don't like it. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, you can get as close to God as you want to. Now, I said that to say this. You name any rival to God you want. You cannot serve God and that thing. That thing we talked about. What is it that you love more than you love Christ? Is there anything in all the world you'd not give up for Christ? Any dream, any plan, any ambition, any goal, any feeling, any attitude, any, you know, that is what that is. Take the word mammon out, put that word in there, and we got the same thing. You see what I'm saying? Any rival God you want. You cannot serve God and that thing at the same time. Take the word mammon out. You insert any word now that you want. Anything you love more than you love Christ, that's what we're talking about. The same principle applies. No man has the ability to serve two rival masters at the same time. Maybe that's why you're frustrated. Think with me. Maybe that's why you are frustrated. Maybe that's why things don't come together. Maybe that's why you can never seem to get going in your Christian life. Maybe that's why your prayers seem to be ineffective and you don't seem to have any victory over sin. Perhaps you're trying to do something that Jesus said no child of God can do, and that is no man can serve two masters. My dear friends, you're trying to do something that Jesus Christ said no man can do. That is, no man can serve two masters, and God's people today are trying to prove Christ a liar. And they're going to find out one day, hopefully not at the judgment seat of Christ. I hope we wake up before then. You see, you're not going to point a finger at me. See, what I believe my ministry is to deliver the mail. I'm just the mail delivery. I'm just delivering the mail and, you know, following Christ, living for God, doing right is not the result of the sermon. It's a decision you've got to make. And I can't make it. Or I can tell you, man, come on, let's go. Hey, man, it's great. Well, you're still trying to figure out if it's all that good. Right? Trying to figure out what color the dog is. Just obey. Just follow Christ. You don't have to call. He'll take care of that. You wasn't here on the dog. Sorry about that. The rest of them, they probably, some of them got it. Some of them still thinking about it. But, so, where are you at, Brother Stevens? So, I'm down there somewhere. Okay, so, yeah, some of you are going to wake up, and you know, no man can serve two masters. Cannot be done. Try it. Try it for a lifetime, and you'll come to the same conclusion that Jesus did. No man can serve two masters. So, we've noticed, number one, that no man can serve two masters, but notice, number two, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James says in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James took the word for twice and the word for soul and put them together. Now, our King James translators translated it double-minded. It literally means a two-souled man. So what was James saying here? Simply saying this. A double-minded man is a man who tries to have two souls at the same time. And if a man tries to have two souls at the same time, he will be unstable in all his ways. What a perfect picture of a man who's trying to serve two masters at the same time, who is trying to do what Christ wants and trying to do what number one wants. Somebody going to be... You don't want to go down that road. I'm telling you. You can go down that road you want to. I'm trying to tell you, it's not a pretty... You know? Yeah. Some people have to learn the hard way. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Satisfy God and satisfy the flesh. You're trying to be what God wants, trying to be what the world wants. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust the flesh and lust the eyes and the pride of life. And you know it. You know it. Now we need to get it down 18 inches. Yeah. And live it. Let's live it like no other generation before us. Come on, we still got time, folks. We really do. We get serious with our walk with God. Ain't no telling what we might do as far as the cause of Christ is concerned. And you folks, it might start right here. Why not? I'm saying, praise God. Turn the world upside down. At least this community. Amen. And so, perhaps that's your problem. You see, you're trying to satisfy Jesus Christ and your flesh at the same time. Brethren, you're beating your head against a spiritual wall. I hope you'll wake up. Because you're trying to serve two rival masters at the same time. You're trying to serve God some of the time, yet you have some things you want to accomplish. You have some things you want to do. You're trying to make those some sort of a rival master. Here it is. You serve God on Sundays, willingly. You serve God on Wednesday. You divide your life into little compartments and you say, God, you're supreme over here, but we're going to operate on another principle back down yonder. No, you can't have that. No way. He said, I'm going to get it one way or another. You see, just get it all away. Just, you know, and it's easier. You ought to be able to get that. But we divide our life in little compartments and say, God, you're supreme over here, but over here I'm going to operate. God's people do it all the time. You need to understand the principle. Everything belongs to God. Amen. Huh? What's in it for me? Nothing. No, everything belongs to God. Help me, Lord. Not just the tithe. It's not like you can take your income and say one-tenth is God's, but the other 90% is mine. That's false thinking. I don't know who taught you that, but it's wrong thinking. Right. It all belongs to God. Brethren, he cannot be Lord of most of it or 10% of it. He has to be the Lord of it all. Amen. And come and discover what the Christian life is truly about. James 1:8, James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you're unstable, there's a reason you're unstable. And the reason is you're trying to serve two rival masters at the same time. Here it is. Here it is, all in a nutshell. You just cannot settle on living for Jesus Christ all the time. I can't get it any clearer than that. That I don't understand. You know, that ought to bother you. I mean, I wouldn't get up. I say, God, I ain't moving till I get it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you're just not serious enough. You shall find him when you seek him with your... Oh, yeah. Maybe you're just not there yet. Well, get there. Come on. We need some reinforcements. Hey, come on. Help! There's a battle going on. They're perishing. Folks are perishing by the millions. Man, we're not doing the job. America's going to hell. God's people sleep. Come on. Amen. Put the armor on. Let's go. Say it's not real to you yet. That ought to bother you. I don't see how you can sleep at night. I really don't. That ought to bother you bad. You can see why I'm not getting many calls back. I hope y'all call me back. Okay. Did I say that out loud? Well, James, and you just cannot settle on living for the Lord all the time. You come to church on Sunday night and you get into conviction. You say, I'm going to get right with God. God is going to be number one in my life. Monday morning, you go to work. And the environment at work begins to overcome you. And so you begin to act like the world. You begin to talk like the world. You begin to think like the world. You begin to follow the world's pursuit of things. About the next day, you're serving yourself or you're serving some other desire. You come to church on Wednesday night, you get with God's people, say, I want to be like them. I'm going to serve God, do right. Thursday comes around, you get off track. Friday comes around, you get in the same mess. And by Saturday, God's people are miserable. Why would you want to live like that, Clay? Any child of God can live a life like that. Let's live a different sort of life. He says, yeah. And so on Sunday morning, you get under to preaching to God's word, and you say, I'm going to live for God and do right. And so you live for the Lord on Sunday and on Wednesday and from time to time, and you live for yourself from time to time. And God says, go tell my people, they're an unstable mess down there in the 21st century. There it is. I said it. You're an unstable mess. By the way, if you're unstable, you're unstable in all your ways. It's not limited just to the spiritual. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you're unstable, you see, not only do you make a poor Sunday school teacher, you make a poor businessman. You see, not only do you make a bad choir member, you probably don't have none, but you make a bad dad, you can apply it, however it works. You see, it's not limited just to the spiritual. And so, brethren, you cannot confine the influence of your life to one area. I'm simply saying if you're unstable, if you're double-minded, if you're trying to serve Jesus Christ and something else, hey, man, you're unstable in all your ways. It affects every area of your life. So let me ask you, are you frustrated in your business because you're double-minded? See, it affects every area of your life. So are you frustrated in your business because you're double-minded? Are you frustrated in your marriage because you're double-minded? Are you frustrated in your standards because you're double-minded? Are you frustrated in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ because you're double-minded? If you're double-minded, you are unstable in all your ways. It affects every area of your life. So let me ask you this. Let me say this. This is so cool. A double-minded man is unstable. A double-minded man suffers from several things. You can kind of figure it. I'm only give you three, and they're bad. But anyway, it only gets worse, man. If you don't get it in three, then you're going to be mad if I give you 25. You see what I'm saying? Three. I hope it works. So you suffer from several things. You suffer from split loyalties. Run back and forth trying to please both, but pleasing neither. You say, preacher, this is what I'll do. I'll serve the Lord some of the time. But I have some things I want to accomplish. I have some things I want to do. And now I'll do this thing, whatever it is, mammon, lust, greed, popularity. What happens? God is unhappy with you. I'm trying to help. God is unhappy with you, and the flesh is not satisfied. The flesh is like the Lord Jesus in the sense that it wants absolute rule. The flesh does not want limitations. The flesh does not want restraints. The flesh, if your flesh is like my flesh does not want to be denied. My flesh wants Windows 8. My flesh wants an iPad. Nothing wrong with an iPad. Get three of them. Give me one. Okay, you see what I'm saying? People take me wrong. I don't know why they take me wrong like that. Nothing wrong with an upgrade. As long as it don't rival his lordship, you see. But you can get to know God with a writing pad. You get in that book and a writing pad, you don't need an iPad.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? You're still not mad at me, right? Right? All right. Isn't it so cool? This is Christianity 101. And now we're going to move. We're going to grow. I hope you come back. You wanted a greater walk, a closer walk. Well, God is unhappy with you and the flesh is not satisfied. The flesh wants to rise up and be the boss. Jesus wants to be the boss. See, we are crucifying the flesh because the flesh does not want limitations. The flesh does not want to be denied. The flesh wants to rise up and be boss. So we crucify the flesh with the affections and lust and let Christ live out his life in and through you. And so that's where we're going. A double-minded man not only suffers from split loyalties, he suffers from spiritual guilt. So let me ask you something else. Are you trying to figure out some kind of a way to be at peace with guilt? You're not willing to turn from that sin that produces the guilt, like 35, and you choose to go 65. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? And I met people like that. I was sitting down with this guy, and he says, pastors, follow me. Man, some of them go really fast. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure I'm glad I got my cell phone. Follow me. Norman, where are you at? I'm lost. You need to keep up. Okay. Where are you at? Where are you at? I said, I got to find out. And he come back, and all of a sudden, well, keep up. And, you know, I don't want to tell him to slow down. Don't you obey God? You know, that kind of, when you start doing that, things start going, you know what, things start going, why do they, you would think that would, you know what, that, can you see that, can you see how things go bad at this point? And so, you ought to do it the second time. Brother Steve, where you at? I got lost again. Did you know the speed limit 35? Crazy. We got to live a godly life in his presence. James 4:17. Do you know what it says? Is it just religious talk? Therefore to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Then you go over to Psalm 66:18. If I were God and iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear me. He won't hear me going 65. I don't know why you think you got by with it. I'm just saying someone's right and someone's wrong. Do you know what it says? I found me a verse on that one too. Let God be true. Let every... Hey, I didn't write the book. I'm just telling you what it says. Isn't that good? You don't want to get that close, do you? And so what I'm saying is, are you trying to figure out some kind of a way to be at peace with guilt? You're not willing to turn from it. From the sin that produced the guilt. And so you're trying to figure out some kind of way to accommodate guilt so you can live with it. I had a pastor say, hey, I got this turning. And he says, everybody goes 75, so go 70. I said, I'd rather obey God. You know, from then on, everything goes south. Why is that? When I stand before him, I'm not going to say, well, he said it. He said it's okay. That's crazy. I don't know how we think we can get by with it. God is not well pleased. That's all I'm saying. And if we're going to influence the heart of God, we need to be right with God. Fellowship with the Son of God. And that's how it works. And you say, well, that's hard. You don't know how hard it is. Well, let not sin therefore let not sin there reign. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Let not sin therefore reign. So you can take it up with the Lord tonight. And trying to figure out some kind of, so you're trying to figure out some way to accommodate guilt so you can live it. You better hope and pray you never figure out any kind of a way to make peace with guilt. You know what you got to do? Get rid of it. 1 John 1:9 says, Norm, if you confess, I'm faithful and just to forgive as though it never happened. I said, man, praise God, I get to go again. I got a clean slate. Let's see, nothing between my. That's how it works. And then, you know, it even gets worse. Not only, you know, see, a double-minded man only suffers from split loyalties and spiritual guilt, but he also suffers from a loss of spiritual power with God. You're powerless in your prayer life for a reason. It is the very nature of our God to hear and answer our cry for help. Psalms 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Why would Jesus say in Luke 18, 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint if he were not a prayer hearing and prayer answering God? Why would the Apostle Paul command us to pray? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. If our God was not by nature a prayer hearing and prayer answering God, and I submit to you tonight, he is. Yeah. Our God is a prayer hearing and prayer answering God, and it ought to be the norm for us to get our prayers answered. If God's people can go day after day, week after week, and month after month without getting their prayers answered, there's a serious spiritual problem in your life. Folks, I'm not willing to pay that price. 35-65. If you've ever known what it is to move the heart of God and then know what it is not to move his heart, then you know the misery of powerless living. Ain't gonna do it. Ain't gonna do it. You say, can you move the heart of God? Well, you believe the book, don't you? James 4:2. You have not because. Moving the heart of God. You just got to figure if it's real or yet. It's real. Come. It is real. But it's not. It gets worse. You are powerless in your witness for the Lord for a reason. You're fruitless. If I ask you to write down a piece of paper how many souls you've won to Christ in the last 6 months, what would you write? Jesus says, John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth
much fruit.
Yeah. For without me, you can do nothing. You're powerless in your witness for the Lord for a reason. You're powerless in your victory over sin for a reason. You're powerless because you have two masters, and thus God says, you unstable. You unstable in all your ways. Simply saying this, if you're trying to render servant-like obedience to two masters at the same time, it will produce split loyalties. It's coming. Spiritual guilt and a loss of spiritual power with the Son of God. Now it gets, you thought that was all the good stuff. It gets worse from here. Because now we got to make a decision. See, we've noticed no man can serve two. I hope you believe that. Jesus said you can't do that. Then we noticed if you choose to ignore that, you're going to be unstable in all your ways. And so now choose you this day whom you'll serve. Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua said now, okay, folks, it's all laid out. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord Jesus, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood of the gods and the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So what was Joshua saying? He's simply saying this. Hey, listen, folks. If you don't want to serve Christ, serve somebody. Get off the fence. You've lost your first love. Now we're going to talk about that. All I can do is share. The successful Christian life. What is he saying? That's interesting. The Christian life boils down to decisions. The successful Christian life is made one decision after another. It doesn't happen any other way. And if you think living for God and doing right is done some other way, you're simply fooling yourself. There has to be a decision. There has to be determination. You say something like this, I'm going to live for God and do right. It's going to affect the way I think, the way I talk, the way I dress, the way I live. It's going to affect everything about me. That is, I have made up my mind. Praise God. By His grace, I'm going to follow Christ. Hey, except on Friday. Live like the devil. No, you can't just, you know, you got to. Boy, sure is quiet. You know. Why won't you do it? Come back tomorrow night. Four reasons why Jesus said, you won't do it. Did you know that's in the book? Jesus gives us four reasons why the child of God. I can understand unsaved folks, but four reasons why the child of God will not follow Christ. Man, we're in a mess down here, folks. I hope you realize that. We're in a mess. Brethren, you're going to serve someone, serve something. Question, who are you going to serve? Since you cannot serve two masters, it cannot be Jesus said, then you need to choose who will be your Lord. Do you know what it says in Mark 12:30? Did you know the first commandment? You know what the first commandment? He says, John 14:1, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments and are not grievous. So, we honor Him with our lips. Huh? It's easy to say, I love you. We have to say, I love you better every day. I love you. You see, that's easy. I obey Him better every day. I obey Him better. See, now He's going, oh no. Love is, but obey. We show the measure of our love toward Christ by the measure of our obedience to God. You said you want a greater walk. I heard you pray for it. Jesus said, this is the one we love. He said, and thou shalt love thyself. Huh? If the Spirit of God indwells, you know that ain't right. Thou shalt love thyself. Think about Christ on Sunday and Wednesday when things go smoothly. Walk with me when things going great. And no, he said, thou shalt love me. It's a decision. Thou shalt love me with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And all thy strength. He said, this is the first commandment. So what was, you say, preacher, what must I do? You need to love the Lord. Did I say, if God's people, if this congregation would fall in love with Christ, no one had to beg and plead for you to memorize Scripture. No one had to beg and plead to get right with God. No one had to beg and plead for you to pray. No one had to beg and plead to keep your mind before God. You know why? Jesus Christ would be real to this congregation. Yeah. You need to love Him. You need to love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Here it is. Jesus Christ must have absolute lordship over every area of your life. He must have lordship over your time, not just 10% of it, folks. He must have lordship over your talents, not just 10% of it. He's got to have lordship over your possessions. Every decision must be His. Every desire must be the Lord's. Romans 13:14, the Bible says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So what is the Bible saying? It's simply saying this, make no room for the flesh, period. That's a decision. Psalm 86:11, the psalmist said, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear thy name. What was the psalmist saying? He's simply saying this, let me serve the Lord with my whole heart. Question, what was the secret to Paul's life? You know the apostle Paul. Do you know the secret to Paul's life? Come back later. I'll share with you the secret of Paul's life, but I'll give you a hint now. The secret to Paul's life is that man, he was a man. But that man made a decision to serve the Lord with all his heart. That's the difference. But can that be said of you today? Do you serve Jesus Christ with all your heart? No division, no provisions for the flesh, nothing for uno, number one, self. Just think, if you would make a decision to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and a decision to serve him, we all might have the kind of life the Apostle Paul had. Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, Paul says, Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, Paul writes, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Paul was simply saying this, I am committed with all my heart. That's what we lack, a commitment today. We need some folks who'll get serious. Are you committed as far as the cause of Christ is concerned? Are you hoping things going to turn out okay? Some of you are going to walk up to the judgment seat of Christ, say, Lord Jesus, I have nothing to offer you. I've lived for myself. I've gone where I wanted to go. I've done what I wanted to do. I don't pay careful attention to what you want in my life. But we can change. It can change tonight. That's only in that hope that's good. It could change tonight. You don't have to continue that way. It's kind of like I preach on hell. You know, you don't have to go to hell. And they just walk right out, headlong, right on in hell. You know, they don't get saved. And I tell folks, hey, God's people, came. We can have discover a Christian, a walk with God you never knew. And you got to make a decision. Mark 8:34, this is the message tomorrow night. Mark 8:34, and I'll go through 36 through 38, but not tonight. That's four reasons why you won't. Mark 8:34, Jesus said, whosoever will. Come after me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So what was Jesus saying? He says, if you folks are going to walk with me, if you're coming after me, I've got to be first. You want to get to know me? I've got to be first in your life. I've got to be first in your dreams. You might not be willing to pay the price. I've got to be first in your dreams. I've got to be first in your ambitions. I've got to be first in your goals. I've got to be first in your marriage. I've got to be first in your dating. I've got to be first in your home. I've got to be first in your business. I've got to be first in your church. I've got to be first in your standards. I've got to be first in your studies. I've got to be first. I've got to be first in your life. Anything that contradicts the will of God in your life has got to go. Amen. And that's the reason why a vast majority of God's children today will never live the kind of life the Apostle Paul lived. God's people today are comfortable. Yeah. They don't want to give up whatever contradicts the will of God. I want what I want. I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to do what I don't want to do. Oh, don't do that. Please don't do that. And so, and now I'll conclude. 1 Kings 18. You know what it says in 1 Kings 18:21? Elijah came unto the people and said, okay, you've heard it. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, serve him, follow him. Let me ask you something. Is he your Lord? Now be careful, because there's going to be another question with that. Is he your Lord? Now don't laugh at it. If he is Lord, from this point forward, let him be Lord of everything. Is that so hard to let him Lord of your family, Lord of your friends, Lord of your finances? He can do a far better job. I'm telling you, he can do a far better. You're just not convinced of that either, are you? I'm telling you, he can do a far better job. Let him be Lord of your family, friends, and let him find it. Let him be Lord of your dreams, your plans, your ambition. Go. Let him be Lord of your home, your business, your church. Let him be Lord of that question. No room for any other rival. No room for any other master. Only you need to settle that in your mind. Who will be your Lord? Will it be the world with all of its pleasures? Choose. Will it be the flesh with all of its appetites that go faster? Huh? Will it be the devil with all of his land offers of satisfaction. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Will you serve the Lord and things, or Christ Jesus, the Lord only? Choose. Will you serve the Lord and worries and fears, or Christ only? Choose. Will you serve the Lord and personal ambitions and plans, or the Lord only? Will you serve the Lord and carnal lust and pleasures, or the Lord only? Choose you this day whom you'll serve. No man can serve two masters. It cannot be done. Jesus said, for either you'll hate one, love the other, hold one, despise the other, cannot serve God and mammon. And a double-minded man, a believer who tries to violate that principle, is unstable in all his ways. So why not just choose you this day who you are going to serve, and whomever you choose to serve, serve him. Love him. Serve him with your whole heart. Love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And discover. But we can do that, you know. Well, I can do all things through Christ. You say, I can't. I can do all things through Christ. Hey, okay. It's getting late. Sorry about that. Y'all coming back? Some of it coming back. I'm done. My mouth is dry even. Hey. So you gotta make the decision. I can't make it for you. Serve the Lord. Hey. I'm done, really. I don't know.